Have you ever wondered why you get cravings or how to deal with them? Welcome to Holistic Hope, the podcast show that uncovers the secrets to health that you've been searching for. I'm your host, Amanda Cuter. Welcome to the podcast show, my holistic health seeking friends. Today I was thinking about what theme I wanted to talk about on the show. And I was flipping through this apparently 35-page Nutrition 101 book that I had created a few years ago. And I thought I'd pick out one of the topics from this. And I was looking at cravings and a new concept I wanted to introduce to you today. But I really like this book. And if anybody ever wants a copy of it, I'm really happy. Just shoot me an email and I'll send it over. But I like it because it really breaks down the foundation of health. So I like to talk about primary foods, even more importantly than secondary foods. So you're probably thinking, what is she talking about? Well, the primary foods are four key areas of your life. So they're your relationships, your career, your physical activity, and your spirituality. And when I was first introduced to this concept, I didn't really have any of them balanced. They were a bit of a mess. And over the course of time and the last 11 years, I have really been able to balance out these four areas of my life. And I feel pretty good about life right now. So I have that in my book. I laughed and chuckled because on page 4, I talk about basic human needs. We go around thinking that we need this and we need that and we have to do this and that. But really, we only have 4 basic needs in which we need in order to survive. And they are to have good drinking water, eat healthy food, have clean air, shelter, clothing, and then I threw in some extras. Have a good night's sleep, have really good relationships, and of course, we all know I'm about the essential oils, so I threw that in there for fun. On page 5 and 6, I talk and look about different food pyramids and how they've drastically changed and to really make more sense as well. I have in this book about top 10 weight loss tips. And I was thinking today, I really need to do an episode really based on water alone. I was out with lunch with friends today. We're at a restaurant, one of my favorite restaurants. And I always ask for water with no ice. And I live here in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's already 35 degrees Celsius in April. And if I do a quick conversion, because I still don't know my Fahrenheit Celsius. Okay, so that's 95 Fahrenheit. Guys, we are in spring. It's going to get really hot. And we already hit 100 Fahrenheit, actually, a couple of days ago. So we were at lunch and I ordered water with no ice. The lovely server bought me the water. I had a sip out of it and I immediately knew it was tap water. And I was like, ugh. And I keep these really cool Vitality hydration drops, a little bottle. I keep it in my bag and I just whip it out. I put some in there just to help change the flavor in the water. I didn't put enough in because it did not change the flavor of the water. And I turned to my friend and I said, do you want to try this? And she kind of looked at me funny. And I'm like, it's tap water. It doesn't taste very nice. And she told me she only drinks tap water. Pretty much that's what she drinks. And I didn't know people still drink tap water. And so I thought, hey, I have to do another episode on the importance of good quality water. You know, especially when our bodies are made up of And depending what research you want to look at, I've heard anywhere from 65 to 85, probably more around the 70, 75%. I need to double check if anybody actually has any real information on what percentage our bodies are made up of water. So water is really important, especially if I wanted to talk about cravings today. Sometimes when we are craving food, we're actually just dehydrated. And by the time we are craving food and being dehydrated, it's kind of a little bit too late. So it's really important to always be hydrated and drink, you know, they can say about 8 glasses of water a day. Now, it also depends on the size of your body. So one of the programs I'm a part of that I offer is called a 14-day reset. I've personally recently changed the name to a 14-day reset kickstart because this is really a kickstart into healthy habits. And when we announced it as a 14-day reset, there is a whole team of us. People just thought they could do the 14-day reset and that would be done. It would reduce all the inflammation in their body. They would lose weight. They would feel great. There were also the photos we were posting of people who had the success. And then I realized we forgot to kind of mention a key point. These people have been doing the 14-day reset. It's a 14-day protocol. They do one thing at an increased amount every 14 days, once a month. And the other four parts of the reset is something that you can continue day in, day out, in between the 14 days per month. And one of those steps is to drink half your body weight in ounces every day. So if you work out how many pounds you are, divide that by 2, and that's how many ounces per day you should be drinking. Now, if you use a metric system like me, again, pop a comment in the chat. I will give you the conversion of what that is because I grew up dealing with the metric system. So coming to America and dealing with the imperial system, I've learned a lot. I know a little bit, don't know everything. I have Google. So drinking water is super important, and the quality of clean water, how that actually helps your cells, your healing in your body is just super important. Another little trick to cravings I like to do is if you do have a sweet tooth craving, and don't get me wrong, I am a chocolate lover. I have an episode scheduled in the near future that is actually an episode dedicated to the health benefits of chocolate. And I don't want you running out to the supermarket and buying all those candy bars with chocolate in it thinking that's what I'm talking about, because I'm 100% not talking about candy chocolate bars you buy from the supermarket. I personally avoid them like the plague, and I'm going to show you how you can get your chocolate fix and make it healthy and guilt-free. So that's an episode coming up. So cravings. Let's see. I'm going to continue this book, looking through my fun nutritional book that I went through. Obviously, exercise is an important part. And just today I was speaking to somebody. We're going to have a episode about walking and running coming up soon. So I'm excited for that episode. Learning to cook is going to come into this. Now, I used to hate cooking. If you caught the episode a few episodes back where I was speaking to Tom Walosian about the Master Cleanse, I hated cooking. And when I did a 10-day liquid detox, I thought, this is horrible. I never want to do it again. I mean, not that it was horrible. It's just I really love food. So I've really had to work on my emotional connections and patterns with food. But I thought, I never want to do this Master Cleanse again. And this was my initial thoughts. And so I thought, if I want to keep my body clean and healthy after this 10-day detox, I need and must learn how to cook. So learning how to cook became very, very important to me. Another episode coming up is we're going to be talking about a yin-yang imbalance. One of the things I wanted to talk about, how to deal with cravings, it's a principle that not many people have heard about. And it's actually called crowding out. And the basis of this principle is if you can eat enough highly dense nutritional food, you actually can crowd out those cravings and eat the less healthy food. Now, you can also go by a principle of the 80-20 rule where you eat 80% healthy, 20% for those indulgent moments. And, you know, the more I get into my plant-based journey, being a vegan, it's amazing because when you're plant-based and you're doing it right, and I'm not talking about the junk style vegan, I'm talking about the healthy plant style eating, you can eat your delicious raw. I make the most amazing, delicious raw cheesecakes. And yes, I am going to toot my own horn about that because my friends, when they get an invite to come over to my house, it's kind of expected I'm going to feed them raw plant cheesecakes or whatever dessert I decided to whip up at the time or whatever I have in the freezer, because I always keep a I keep a freezer full of raw desserts, which is the great thing about them is that you freeze them and so you can make a big raw chocolate cheesecake that's super healthy, packed full of minerals, vitamins, protein, and you can actually eat a slice of that for dinner. And that is probably actually healthier than the 90% of people, what they eat for dinner. So my friends love coming over and eating my raw cheesecakes or what it is that I eat. But another little trick that I came across in my early days, I was never, and I'm always fully honest, I never was a vegetable eater. I grew up Italian and I grew up eating a lot of meat. My family would eat a lot of soups. I didn't really care for soups. It's been later in my life where I've started to eat them. And even in the middle of winter, they're still not the most favorite food of mine. But I did love sweet potato. And I did love pumpkin or squash, depending what you want to call it, which region of the world you're in. Funny when you have somebody who's bilingual in English. I speak Australian, British, and American. Very different languages for anybody who would pay attention. So if you have a sweet craving, one of my favorite things I love to do is I love to get a butternut squash pumpkin and I'll peel the skin off it, and then I'll slice it up into maybe half an inch thick, 1 centimeter pieces. And then I will dice it all up. So I'll dice up all the pumpkin, I'll dice up all the sweet potato, and then I will mince a whole garlic, and then I will grate the amount of ginger I would grate kind of equals to the amount of garlic that I mince. So I want equal parts ginger and garlic. I put it in a bowl, then I put oil in the bowl and I marinate it all together. So I don't like using olive oil for cooking. Cooking oils is a whole other episode and a whole other conversation. You should really only be using oils that you can cook with that can stand a high temperature. So two of my favorite oils that I use and we use in my house is coconut oil and avocado oil. Now we do use olive oil when we're on salads or as a raw oil. I'm even trying to actually even get away from using oils, but there are some instances where we do use oils and I'm actually going through a cooking course at the moment to try and learn more oil-free cooking. So we can come back and talk about that later. But I will do the garlic, the ginger, equal parts. And I like to use avocado oil, and I'll sprinkle avocado oil in the bowl. I'll let it marinate for a little bit. You know, I kind of do that as my first step. Then I will dice up my pumpkin and my sweet potato. I'll get a big bowl. I'll put it all in together. Then I'll put my spice marinade in it, mix it all up, put it on baking trays, and then bake that. And you're probably going to ask me for how long. That is a great question. So you can preheat the oven to 425 Fahrenheit, and you can bake it for 30 to 40 minutes, tossing it every 10 minutes, or basically you want your veggies golden brown. So eating those orange root vegetables actually is a really great way to curb your cravings. It's absolutely one of my favorite ways. So that could be a really good trick you could use. Another really good trick to crowd out food is one of my favorites, and that is juicing. And I'm not talking about going on the 10-day liquid master cleanse, although I still promote that once a year. The other thing I promote is making a green juice. One of my favorite documentaries to watch, and one I highly, highly recommend, is Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. Coincidental, the lead guy who wrote the documentary, Joe Cross, is an Australian, and he did come to America to make this documentary, totally unrelated to why I'm telling you about this story. But he has his recipe, the Mean Green Juice. And after I watched his documentary, I started incorporating the Mean Green Juice. And it's something you can Google. Please go watch his documentary. He actually has a 1 and 2. Definitely start with the first one if you haven't seen it, because you'll be blown away at the size of how big Joe was to where he was after he did this juice. Now, he did this juice as a juice cleanse. That means that's all he was having, 60 days that he went across America just doing this juice. He talks about how hard it was the first week. But what I would say for you is to just add one of these in once a week. And then maybe the following week, add it in twice a week. And what's in it is lemon, ginger, celery, cucumber, green apples, and kale. I actually don't make mine with the kale. And you can or you can't, whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is that you're getting the nutrition into your body that will serve you and do really, really well. If I'm ever starting to crave food, I think about, do I have sweet vegetables in my diet? Well, firstly, the water. Have I drunk enough water? Do I need to go have a big glass of water? I like to keep these, I think these are 18-ounce glasses. I like to keep one of these on my desk, and I will drink that throughout the day. I love drinking green tea. That's very antioxidant as well. And then I also ask myself, have I eaten any orange root vegetables? So you could also add carrot to the mix if you wanted. I really love the pumpkin sweet potato. My mum used to add carrot to it. This was my mum's recipe, but my mum taught me how to make this. And then I will also add into my diet my green juices. So these are really simple, healthy things you can do. And then getting some like really good nuts and seeds. I actually just love making a little nut mixture. My favorite is some macadamia nuts, which is actually from the region of Australia that I come from. And you get, if you're in America, Costco has a really good price on macadamia nuts in quite decent sized bags. And you can also, I throw in some cashews, and some pistachio nuts. You can throw in almonds, walnuts. If you're looking for really good brain support, walnuts is a perfect brain food to add in. There are some examples that you can do. Now, when I'm talking about the juicing, I am actually talking about a juicer and not making a smoothie. I really love to juice, and I feel like when I juice, it really gives my body a good clean out. Now, I have somebody else I want to bring on the show in a future episode who I've had conversations with about. He actually sells juices and blenders. And I've had a conversation with him, what is the healthiest, a juicer or a blender? And he said to me, which one are you doing? Can I just repeat that again? Which one are you doing? Because either is healthy. And I've, you know, when I entered this holistic health world, there was this debate. Do I juice? Do I blend? Oh, but if you're juicing, you're missing the fiber and you're not getting everything, where the smoothie is more complete. But I didn't necessarily like smoothies, and people also make them really cold. I do not like cold things. Probably the coldest things I eat are my cheesecakes. So either have a smoothie. If you're like gung-ho in your mind about, I need to make a smoothie, then make the smoothie. If you're like, oh, I want to try the main green juice recipe, try that. Either is going to be beneficial. And one other tip I want to tell you with that is clean out your juicer or your blender before you drink the drink. So I was talking to a friend about this one day, and I'm like, why don't you just juice? Or actually, she had the Ninja blender thing. And she's like, I hate cleaning it. And it really got me, you know, thinking about this. I said, when you clean it, has it already been sitting there for a while? And she admitted, yes. So one of the best things you can do, and this is just a small shift in your mindset and habit, but if you can clean them, rinse them, wash them as soon as you make the drink, it is easier to do and you won't be resistant to do it next time. Otherwise, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to hate it, you're going to wonder why you're doing this. So I always want to recommend, make sure to do that first. And let me see, are there any other tips? I don't want to overload you all right now, but I want to make sure that I've given you some practical things, that just a couple of things that you can go, okay, let's eat some more root vegetables. And I'm not talking about white potato to my white potato French fry fans. Don't worry, I like French fries too. My husband makes homemade air fryer fries and they are so good and I love them. But I'm talking about orange root vegetables right now. Even beetroot, not orange, red, that would also be really helpful. So things to avoid, eat naturally sweet vegetables and fruit. That will help with your sugar cravings and all the cravings. Even caffeine can be one that's tied to dehydration, and that could also cause sugar cravings. So drinking heaps of water, physical activity, get some more sleep. I want to hear reports back that people tried the root vegetables. They made the mean green juice and they got a little bit of physical activity in. Even if it's 10, 30 minutes a day, just try it. And I hope that really just gives you a small amount of things to think about, that if you can add some good things into your body, it will crowd out the cravings and help you feel so much better. Until next time, stay well. Thank you for joining us on the show today. If you like this episode, make sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode.